You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Now, I remember seeing that shot several years ago. The best basketball player to ever play, Michael Jordan, starts talking smack to Dikembe Mutombo, and they're talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, it's towards the end of the game in Denver, Colorado. Jordan looks at Mutombo and says, basically, watch this. I'm going to shoot this free throw with my eyes closed. And he shoots it, and he says, welcome to the NBA. And I remember seeing that thinking, that's just Michael Jordan. He is just the best basketball player to ever play. He can do whatever he wants. It just comes to him. It just sort of happens because he's Michael Jordan. But then I started to research that shot a little bit more and actually heard him talk about it. That wasn't just some trick shot. He actually practiced that shot quite a bit, but not just to do it. It was all based on fundamentals. You see, Jordan was so obsessed with making sure his shot was so good, he started analyzing everything about his shot, his elbow, how it came off his thumb, how it came off his index finger, how it came off his middle finger. He did all these different things. So the thought was, if his fundamentals were so good, he could shoot the basketball with his eyes closed and completely trust in his form. So he'd start practicing again and again and again with his eyes closed until he made sure his fundamentals were absolutely sound and perfect. Now, as I think through that, so many times we want to do these amazing things for God, and we're blown away by so many people about what they do. But so much of it just starts with us depending on the grace of God and practicing the spiritual disciplines he's given us to do. Going back to the basics, just practicing the fundamentals. And that's what we're going to be talking about the next 5 weeks, of going through some of the fundamentals of the faith. Now, week one is going to be about prayer. Now, prayer to me is just overwhelming, trying to think through of all the different things to think about when it comes to prayer. Where do you start? What do you cover? All these different things. And as I was thinking through this, I think there's probably three groups of people in this room right now. There's one group of just prayer warriors. I mean, I could learn a few things from you. You pray and pray and pray, and then you pray some more. Now, I hope as you hear this talk today, as you hear this sermon, I don't know if you hear anything new, but I hope that you're encouraged to continue to pray and seek God. Two, you might be a non-believer or a very new believer and trying to figure out what prayer is or how to go about doing it. I hope that you can learn a few things to really improve your prayer life and increase your prayer life. Three, you could be a believer in this room, know how to pray, but the chaos of life has just gotten to you. You know you need to be praying more, but it's just a lot. As I sit there and think through this, I want to sit there and tell you, I understand, okay? One of the things that really was trying to think through this sermon, I'm just like trying to pray more and think through this. I was thinking about my own family. I've got a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 2-month-old. One day I was walking into the house, just excited. My 3-year-old and 2-year-old were playing with their trucks, laughing, having a good time. My 2-month-old baby girl was just making some baby noises. Everything was good. Brandy was cooking a meal and just smelled great. And I walk into the house and I say, I just love the chaos. Just love it. So anyway, we go on later on and we're going through this and, you know, we put the kids down. I tell Brandy, I was like, I've got this. You know, you just go get some rest. I've got this. It's about 10:30. I hear little Hannah start crying. Okay, it's no big deal. I'll start taking care of Hannah. Then next thing you know, Brax starts crying. Well, okay, I get Brax, so I take care of Hannah, and then I go to Brax. And then Brax wakes up his brother Graham, then Graham starts crying. And then by the time I get Graham, then Hannah starts crying again. And then by the time I take care of Hannah, Brax starts crying again. By the time I take care of Brax, Graham starts crying again. And all of a sudden, all three of them were crying at the same time. It was complete chaos. And all I did for like the next hour and a half was just a complete circle between the three beds trying to calm down all three children. Finally, what seemed like an eternity, all three of them are down. Felt like I'd just been through a boxing match. Just absolutely just beat up. So here I am. I'm just sort of limping, sort of tiptoeing back to our bedroom, just feeling absolutely, completely exhausted. Brandy, halfway asleep, halfway awake, looks up, smiles really big, and says, "Do you like the chaos now?" Now, with all that being said, it's just life so much, right? It's so hard. So many things are going on. Yet at the same time, no matter how chaotic and how busy life is, we are called to pray and have a lifestyle of prayer. Let's stand. We're just going to read one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words: pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for this time. Father, we just pray that you have your hand upon us, and then we just see the importance of praying and calling out to you that you are our dad, you are our heavenly Father. Father, let's just warm our hearts to who you are and have a desire to pray more and pray with the church. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say a couple of things. As we think through this sermon is personal to me. I've been married close to 5 years this February. And a few years ago, a mentor of mine, Dr. Chuck Lawless, just simply asking how I was doing, asked, "How's your prayer life?" And to be honest, at the time, it wasn't good. And then he asked me another question: "How are you doing in praying your wife?" Now I started mumbling, "I'm busy, doing all the mumbling," and really wasn't going very well. And one of the things that, so since then, has been on this journey, and it's been slow. But I'm trying to learn more and really increase my prayer life. And there's three things that have really stuck out to me to really help me understand my own prayer life and help warm my heart to call out to my Father more and more. And so I have three questions for you to think about. Three questions: who are you praying to? How much are you praying? And then who are you praying with? Let me repeat that. Who are you praying to? Two, how much are you praying? Three, who are you praying with? So let's deal with question number one: who are you praying to? One of the things I started really thinking about is that if I'm not praying like I want to be praying, it might be my view of God. So one of the things that really helped me tremendously is just going through the book of John. And as I read the book of John, all I did was focus on this. Every time Jesus talks about his Father, I wanted to take notes. So the entire time, any passage, Father, Son, okay, what's this relationship like? And at the end of the book, I wanted to ask myself one question. After studying the Father-Son relationship between the Heavenly Father and Jesus, do I really genuinely want in? Okay, I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I know it's based on grace. But through him, if I really believe in him, guess what that makes me? That makes me a son of God. If I'm a son of God, do I genuinely desire to want to call out to my Father because of who he is and how good he is? One of the passages that really stuck out to me going through this study was John chapter 5, verses 19 through 24. We're going to read that and just slowly go through it for just a few seconds. Verse 19, so Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what the Father does, that the Son does likewise." I've got a 3-year-old that's becoming more independent by the day. It's really nice when he's obedient to me. Here in this picture right now, the Father and Son, there is an obedience there. The Son follows the Father. Whatever the Father wants him to do, the Son is willing to do. Verse 20. For the Father does what? Loves the Son. Let me repeat that. The Father loves the Son. How many times am I counseling people because the Father was not there? Not in this relationship. The Father was there. The Father is there. And he loves his Son. Get this. And shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show them. So what? So that you may, I love this word, marvel. So that you may marvel. So get this. There's such a love between the Father and Son. such a dynamic relationship that the Father has given the Son works to do so that you and I may marvel at the relationship between the Father and the Son, to the point of the Son dying on the cross for our sins. Pretty good relationship. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. I don't know about you, but I like living life to the fullest. The Son and Father, you know what their job is? They want to give you life. God, triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God is all about giving you life. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I came to give life, but he just didn't come to give life. He came to give you an abundant life. Verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. So even this responsibility to judging the world, guess what? The Father has so much trust in his Son. Guess what? The Father delegates it to the Son. There's trust there. Verse 23, so that they all may honor the Son. The Father has given delegation to the Son. Why? So they all may honor their Son. And the result is just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And the more I meditated on this passage, and the more I meditated on all these passages in John, it was a resounding yes. I want in. I want to call out to my Heavenly Father again and again and again. I'm trying to think through this. I'm just at a good stage right now because I'm a dad with three little children. And that's what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to be like little children calling out to our Heavenly Dad. So I'm trying to think through what it's like to be a dad and the joys of being a dad. And a couple of things sort of stick out to me. One of the things I absolutely love, okay, I love basketball. I showed the Michael Jordan video. I like to relive the glory days. Now, I never got a really good starting lineup. You know, Murray State, they turn off the whatever lights, they got the video, they got all this stuff going on. I want to sort of give myself an introduction when I walk into the house. So I've been gone for a day or two, and it's been a bit, okay, and I haven't seen the kids, whatever, and here I come. Been 2 days, walking in the house, they haven't seen me, here I come in. I open up the door, and here comes my starting line. This is what I literally do. I scream as loud as I can. Hey! Daddy's here! Okay, now it sounds crazy, completely out of control, but you know what I love at that moment in time? A 3-year-old and 2-year-old, no matter what toy they're playing with, no matter what show they're playing with, will run as fast as they can into their daddy's arms. No matter how bad my day's been, no matter what's going on, it just got better. Then think of another thing. Think of our family devotional time. Now, at our house, we do a little time. We do a little routine. This consists of bath time. Okay, so we give the boys a bath. Then after that, we have what we call the boys practicing for a marathon. They don't like towels, so they get to run around and do about 10 laps around the house to dry themselves off. And then after that, we brush their teeth. And after we brush their teeth, they get 2 books to read, and we read 2 books. And then the father delegates work for the sons to do. Now, Mr. Brax, the 2-year-old, his responsibility is to go get the Bible. So as soon as we read the 2 books, Brax, go get the Bible. And with all his might, he will run as fast as he can into the bedroom and go get the Bible. And he'll barely be able to pick it up. And he sort of just drags it in there. If his brother Graham gets involved, it's going to be drama. So here he comes in. He's got the Bible. Okay, so we read the Bible, do the story, and we sing a hymn, okay? Sing a hymn is Joy of the World. Okay, now Corey said a couple weeks ago that Joy of the World, it's not a Christmas song. It's a good thing because in the Lawrence household, we've been singing it for the last 9 months. My son's favorite song every single night is page 533 in the hymn book, Joy of the World. Sometimes he calls it Joy of the World. Sometimes he calls it Joy of the Real World. And with all that being said, he sings and he belts it. And here again, now Grams can be a little laid back and quiet, but we had a few college students over at our house a couple weeks ago, and they were participating in this. And Graham decides that he's going to sing the song. And here he's singing Joy of the World, and he knows the verses. And he starts belting it out. Now, let me tell you something. Those college girls, I really like those college girls. Appreciated me in my Sunday school class. So honored they're going to their church. But if they would have made fun of my little three-year-old for singing Joy of the World, they would have been booted out of the house immediately. Because it was my son singing his heart out, Joy of the World. But they didn't do that. They honored him and were so encouraged by this little three-year-old singing Joy to the World. And man, what do you think that made me feel like? There's honor there. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think we have this perfect household. One, throughout the night, there was drama, there was discipline, and there were dirty diapers, all mixed into that. But the point of all of it is this. Those sweet moments, no matter what your family life's like, those sweet moments when you've been a parent and been able to embrace your child, or been a child and been able to embrace your parent, those sweet moments, there's nothing like them. And when those moments come, as good as they are, let me say this. It's absolutely nothing compared to the relationship between our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, we're absolutely blown away that we get to enter into this relationship and call out to our Heavenly Dad. And see, when we understand that, all of a sudden prayer takes on a whole new meaning. We're not just praying out of a legalistic obligation. We're not just praying out of a duty. We're not just praying, just asking. No, we're praying, calling out to Dad. We're praying, asking our Heavenly Father to move. We're praying, we're wanting to hear His voice. We're wanting to see what He wants us to do, that there is a relationship going on. No matter what's going on, you just want to talk to your dad. I've got another job in my business. I don't care. I've been doing the other business for 16 years. And still to this day, if I have a good day at work, my work with my dad, guess what I do? One of the first people I call every single time is who? My dad. He already knows everything that I do. This is nothing new to him, but I want to talk to my dad. That's what prayer is. If we truly have a good grip on who God is, our hearts should long to call out to our Heavenly Father, to call out to our Heavenly Dad, and have communication and have intimacy with Him. Make sense? Now, with that being said, I think that leads us into question number two. Question number two is, how much are you praying? Because let's be honest, is that you can sit there and try to pray and communicate to God, but you don't have an audible voice. Try to figure out what to do, what to say, how to say it, all these different things. So much, I think, of praying is just trying to figure out how to pray. It's just go do it and pray. Now, with that being said, and there's a few things to think about, is that one, I want to have 10 30-second prayers a day. 10 30-second prayers. And that doesn't mean I'm being legalistic and got a stopwatch out and time myself 30 seconds. The prayer might be 15 seconds or 45 seconds, but 10 short prayers throughout the day, okay? So what does this look like? Just as I'm texting and calling Brandy throughout the day, I want to be having communication with God throughout the day. Sometimes I might have 7 or 8. Sometimes I might have 11 or 12, just depending on the day. So what does this look like? Is that one, I might sit there and have a prayer during breakfast. I didn't have breakfast this morning, didn't have it, okay? But if I have breakfast, I want to have a prayer, a short prayer with my family. Now, that these prayers, I'm not just going through the motions, okay? About 10 years ago, I went to Moldova, okay? I love Moldova. But believe me, when I got back and went to McDonald's and had a Big Mac, that prayer took on a whole new meaning of how thankful I was to have that Big Mac. Now, with that being said, when we're praying, we're not just going through the motions. We're genuinely calling out to God, even if it's a small period of time. So prayer number one, hey, pray at breakfast. Prayer number two, we're going to leave the house, going to have a short prayer just to pray and leave the house. Prayer number three, let's say I'm taking my three-year-old to preschool, okay? Now I'm going to have a short prayer with him as he's leaving the driveway just to pray with him for 30 seconds. Just to pray for him to be a good student, pray for him to know more about who God is, pray for him to pray for the salvation of his classmates. Here we go. Prayer number four, I'm gonna pray at lunch. Prayer number five, okay? Now I wanna have, this might be before lunch or after lunch, but I wanna have one meaningful conversation with somebody where they're just telling me about their lives. Now, in mind me, and here again, and as you go through the day, it's amazing what you hear from so many different people. People start talking. Someone has cancer. Someone has marriage issues. Someone's having an issue with their child. Some whatever. There's all these different issues that you hear about all day long. One of the things that I've just learned, I got from Steve Duncan in his church. Every time around Steve Duncan, when somebody does that, I don't care where we are or what's going on, he just stops and starts praying. He's right. I mean, why say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you? Why not take 15 or 20 or 30 seconds and go ahead and do it right now? I've started practicing this, try to do this once a day, just find somebody, just when they tell me something. You know, every single time I've done this, no one's been like, what did you just do? No, the result is almost people have been brought to the tears. They're just so thankful that you just took 30 seconds to pray out to God for the situation that they're struggling with. Okay, so I think I'm on five, or I'm on six now. Okay, seven, eight would be prayer, or six, seven will be prayer triggers. Now, what are prayer triggers? Is there things throughout the day that if I see or if I hear about or I experience immediately cause me to pray? Example, it might be an ambulance coming down the road. Yesterday, I was going from Paducah to Murray. There's a wreck. There's an ambulance. Immediately, just 30 seconds, praying for the people in the ambulance, praying for the person in the wreck, praying for the policeman coming on the scene. Might be something in the news. Here again, I'll listen to the news. Here again, that little tip. I've tried this, just taking watch the ticker on a news channel. I tried for just 5 minutes trying to figure out all the different things, all the different places that come across that ticker in a matter of a few minutes. If you just pray for those events that are coming across those ticker, you will literally pray for about the entire world. So many events that go across the ticker just in a matter of a few minutes. So let's say I just pray for two of those events. I might pray for a country, might pray for a city, might pray for a politician. Who knows? But it's going to take me all over the world with all different types of people. I'm praying for them. Okay, at 7, 8, 9, I'm praying for my family at supper. 10, I might be praying for my children before they go to bed. I'm at 11 now, I guess, or I've lost track. And then finally, I'm going to pray with my wife, just a brief prayer before we go to bed. Now, here's my point. That wasn't very hard. That was really easy. And it didn't add anything at all to my day. But what was I doing? Praying throughout the day. 15, 20, 30 second prayers of just praying throughout the day, praying with a variety of different issues, with different people, calling out to my dad. If that's a healthy relationship, that communication needs to be going on. But let me say something. I can be communicating with my wife, texting and calling throughout the day, but we do need some quantity and quality time. I think every person should strive for at least a minimum of 5 minutes a day. Find 5 minutes. You can do it. 5 minutes a day where it's just you and God. I don't care if it's in the shower. I don't care if you're driving down the road. I don't care where you are, right before everybody gets up, right after everybody gets to bed, right after everybody goes to bed. 5 minutes. 5 minutes where it's just you and the Lord communicating. When I first met with Dr. Lawless, the goal was for me and him, for me to do two things. Have a quick prayer with Brandy in the morning, a quick prayer with Brandy at night, and 5 minutes by myself during the day. That was it. Let me say something. I think that you build on that. You build on that. If I'm running a marathon, my first run is always 3 miles. Those 3 miles are brutal, okay? I ran 20 this week. The 3 miles weren't nearly as bad. Why? I've been training. The more you train, the more you pray, all of a sudden, you start enjoying it more. It comes to life because you're in more communication with your Father. And I think we fight for this. We fight for this. Meaning that we don't just settle for the 5 minutes. Maybe once a week, once a month, you're going to get away and have a longer prayer time. It might mean that you have a date night with God. I want to date my wife. and I want to take some time and break away and be with my wife. We need to do the same thing with God. It might mean a Friday night just going to be you and the Lord getting away. It might mean that a husband says to your spouse, to your wife, get away, take a break. Here, take a Saturday afternoon, I've got the kids, you get away. Now, here again, she might want to get away, and she might want to go hang out with her friends or do whatever she wants to do. But part of that time, if she's wise, is to spend time with her Heavenly Father calling out to Daddy. Men, we need to do the same. We want to go to, we want to escape. We want to escape to our man cave. We want to escape to the ball game. We want to escape to go hunt. We want to escape to go play golf. Sometimes we need to escape to call out to our Heavenly Dad. If we really believe He's the creator of the heavens and of the universe, if we really believe that He is good, He is the best, we've got to make it a priority to fight for some time with just you and Him, me and Him. And it leads into this time where you think, okay, well, if I'm praying, well, then these prayers just can become monotonous. That can be the struggle, right? That you're praying for, I'm praying for my sons. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for my wife. And then the next day, I'm praying for my sons. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for my wife. Then the next day, I'm praying for my sons. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying the same exact prayer. It's been a year, and I'm praying the same exact prayer. How do you continue to do it? And this is where I think Scripture is so important. Let Scripture guide your prayers. Whatever you're studying in the Bible, let that guide how you pray. So, example, in my own life, I've been just focused on John chapter 10. John chapter 10 talks about how Jesus is the good shepherd. John chapter 10 talks about how God will not let you go of His hand. John chapter 10 talks about how Jesus came to give you life. Not just life, abundant life. That helps me with my prayer life. Now all of a sudden, when I'm praying for my children, I'm asking this prayer, Lord, please, please, let them, all three of them, hear the shepherd's voice. Please let them be a part of your flock one day. Please never, ever let them go. I'm praying to myself, Father, please let me be a man, whether it be in a community, whether it be in a church, or whether it be in a home, where I'm living the life that You have given me. And people don't just see life in me. They see an abundant life that can only come from You. All of a sudden, that chapter has totally changed my prayer for the week. Praying for my wife. I'm slowly going through the Song of Solomon. Here again, now it sounds like I might be going through a lot. I'm not. The Song of Solomon, I focus on about a verse or two every couple weeks. That's it. And I've got a book that sort of helps me understand what's going on. Right now, I'm in Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 7. It talks about how Solomon has 60 mighty men, and these 60 mighty men are protecting Solomon to get to his bride. And as I sit there and think through that, now I've got a whole new prayer. You know, I've been praying, Lord, please, please put 60 mighty men around me, 60 mighty men. And I start praying for people like Corey and some of my friends to be mighty men. They will protect me. They will fight for me. They will fight for my marriage, that we may be pure and holy and honorable to the Lord. And then guess what else happens? I want to be a mighty man. Lord, please let me be a mighty man for Tim, for Corey, et cetera. Now, all of a sudden, I'm praying for all these other men that weren't even on my radar, but I'm praying for their marriages. I'm praying that I might help them. I'm praying that they might be honorable to their bride. And that takes me usually about all that. It sounds like a lot, about 2 or 3 minutes. Not very long at all. But by just studying 1 or 2 verses a week, I've got a whole new prayer life for the people that I love the most. Now my prayers are not monotonous. No, my prayers have a whole new meaning. I'm working on John chapter 11 this week. Guess what? I got whole new prayers for my family this week. Let the Scriptures guide you and direct you as you pray. Now, with that being said, as you think through this, of one, who are you praying to, and how much are you praying? I think it's good on how much you're praying, really thinking about setting some goals. Don't be overwhelmed with this. Maybe taking 1 or 2 simple steps, having a prayer trigger. Think about praying through some Scripture. Take some 1 or 2 simple steps and start applying it to your life. But the third point is, Who are you praying with? Who are you praying with? As we think through this, I think one thing I think is so key is that, are you praying with your spouse? Are you praying with your spouse? This is so easy and so good, and yet sometimes we get distracted and don't do it. I was at a business conference one time with my dad, and we were having this sales idea was given to us, and I look over at Dad, and he says, you know, that was so simple, and it worked so well, and I quit doing it. And what was he basically saying? He got distracted. Well, how did that happen? But he got distracted. And it's the same thing, I think, with praying with spouses. It can be so simple, and it can work so well, but the busyness of life distracts us. You know, here again, I'm working on praying more and more, Brandy. There's not been one time where I get done praying with her and thinking, oh, why did I just do that? That was stupid. No, I never think that. Not at all. You know, I love our marriage. We have a good marriage. But, you know, it's just, to be honest, every time we're doing this, guess what happens? It's so simple. It works so well. And it works. And all of a sudden, in all areas of our marriage, just get better. I think that's what we have to fight. And here again, it might be as soon as you put the kids down, as soon as you settle things down, before I get my midnight snack, before you turn on the TV or look at Facebook, maybe just take 5 or 10 minutes and pray with your spouse. It is so simple. It will work so well. Don't ask why you're not doing it. But I think another thing to think through about who you're praying with is this. Who are you teaching to pray? And who is teaching you? I've got that flipped. Who is teaching you how to pray? And who are you teaching how to pray? One, I think one of the things we look at is we look at Scripture. We look at Jesus. We look at the Psalms. We look at Paul. One of the things I love about Ephesians, Paul starts talking, then he prays. Paul starts talking, then he prays. Paul starts talking, and he says, pray for me. I love it, okay? That's sort of where I am. I'm just all over the place, okay? And that's where Paul is, okay? And one of the things I love about Ephesians 1, he starts praying for the church. He starts giving thanks for the church. One of the things I love is, like, every time I read this, instead of just asking God, please do this, please do this, please do this, when I hear him give thanks, all of a sudden, I start thinking about Luke Hook. None of you know Luke Hook, but Luke Hook, when I was 15 or 16 years old, started influencing me with the gospel. I start giving thanks for him. I start giving thanks for Ricky Cunningham in college. I start giving thanks for Dr. Lawless in seminary. I start giving thanks for men around me today. I start being thankful for all these different people in my life, just praising God for what he has done. And then, what, as you continue to read on, it starts talking about that Paul just doesn't thank the people, the church, thank God for these people, but he starts asking God that they may know God more, they be filled with more wisdom and understanding. So the thought here is that I don't just give thanks for Tim and Corey and Ricky and Chuck and Luke. No, it's like they might know God more, they be filled more with wisdom, that they may take an experience more and more and more of just how great God is. And my prayer has been totally shifted from thinking maybe physical things, which are important, to now spiritual things, to giving thanks to God and asking God to move that they might experience him more in a whole new, unique way. So one, I think here is that it is a scripture, the people in scripture teaching you. Two, listen to people pray. The people that you look up to, listen to them. See how they pray. This is so simple. I was eating with a guy one time. We were at a restaurant. He just spent some time praying for the waiters that served them. Just praying and giving thanks. When I go to Los Portales now, I give thanks that people have served me. I give thanks, ask God to move on their hearts. Give thanks for how great they are, for how they've served us and helped us, that we can eat because of their service. It's just something so simple. But I'm always listening to godly men, godly women. How are they praying? What are they saying? What can I learn from them and how they're doing it? But I think another thing which is so important, as you look at scripture, look at people you look up to, This other part of the question. Who are you teaching how to pray? Who are you teaching how to pray? Number one, back with my children. One of the things, I'm intense in everything I do, okay? Even at nighttime, my family devotion, I'm just intense. So when I'm laying on the couch, one of the things that I'll do when I'm praying, I'll sit there on the couch and I'll put my hands like this. I can never relax, okay? And I'm just sitting there like this, praying. I know, even my children, just like this. Recently, Brandy gets my attention. We look at the corner of my eye and I see a 2-year-old Brax doing this. And then a couple days later, Graham says he wants to pray. And when I pray, pray for a family, pray for the biblical prayer, whatever we've been reading through tonight, and just say amen or whatever. Graham almost says word for word what I say. Then he looks me in the eye and says, I prayed exactly like you, Daddy. Now, at that moment in time, I liked it, but it was humbling. Whether I knew it or not, I'm teaching 3 young children how to pray. And all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, am I really praying how I'm supposed to be praying? When they leave my house, will they know how to pray? And all of a sudden, I started thinking, the people that are closest to me, how have I taught them how to pray or how not to pray? Have they seen in my life that prayer is important? So here's my question for you. The 10 people that are closest to you in your life, have you prayed with them? Have you taught them how to pray? What have they learned about prayer through watching and learning you pray? And if they haven't seen you pray, that might be another sign as well, that in your view, God might not be as mighty as you say he is. So where are you, and what does that look like? But with all that being said, I want to sit there and say this as well. If you do what we're saying here, you're going to have a prayer life, a prayer lifestyle. And this is what I believe as well. Prayer does work. And when we're speaking to our Father, he does hear us. And let me say this as well. This is a praying church. And God does work through this church. You know what I've seen at this church? I have seen people that have been praying for others, and those people come to know the Lord. I thought it would be impossible for them to ever experience Jesus. I have seen people get prayed over on mission trips and get healed. I've seen all types of different things. There's a story I heard the past couple weeks. There's a couple in our church that was struggling having a child. And this lady in our church said, I'm going to pray for you. And they didn't. And here again, they didn't get pregnant. She said, I'm going to pray for you. And they didn't get pregnant. I'm going to pray for you. And they didn't get pregnant. I'm going to pray for you. And they didn't get pregnant. She kept on praying for them. Then one Sunday in this building, she comes up to them and says, guess what? This is the week you are going to get pregnant. And they did. Let me say something. That's just not by random chance. That is because we have a God that works. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. Yes, we live in a sinful, fallen world. Yes, there's tragedies that happen all around us. But we have a good God that wants to hear from his children. So the question I have for you as we conclude is, where are you right now? How are you doing? Do you have a view of God where you want to be drawn closer to him and call out to him? How much are you praying right now? How can you increase to have more of a prayer lifestyle day to day? Thirdly, who are you praying with? The people that you're closest with, are you praying with them? Let me say this. If you're praying with the people that are closest with you, if you're praying throughout the day, you're fighting through these 30-second prayers, 5 minutes a day, just doing something small like that. If you're praying biblical prayers, if you have the right view of who God is, let me say this. You will hear from God. You will. And here's what's so glorious and so good. When you're practicing the fundamentals of prayer and really calling out to your heavenly Father, you're going to close your eyes. And you won't hear a swoosh of basketball going through a hoop. No, 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 no. Something so much greater. You will hear from the King of Kings and of Lord of Lords, your heavenly dad, and you will hear and see him move. Let's pray.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.